we're continuing our series this morning, The Way. And we finished up with verse 7 and 8 last week, Hebrews chapter 13. And we talked about how to recognize a spiritual leader 2 weeks ago, and then Brother Bill was here with you last week. And I haven't had a chance to listen to his message, but he preached it to me before he came, and I'm sure you were blessed by that. But I want to just do a recap real quick. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And then verse 8 is a transitional verse to the remaining words. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we will be on verse 9 this morning. Do not be carried away or about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Let me read that again for you. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. This morning I want to talk to you about Christian conviction. Christian conviction. Let us pray. Father God, we love you. We worship you. Father, I thank you for the work that you're doing here. Father, that the work that you've already done, Father, through the labor of many. Father, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would just infiltrate this place. Father, I pray, Father, that, Father, you're already here. But Father, I pray that you'd begin to penetrate the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that you'd speak through your words this morning. Father, I pray that every word that comes out of my mouth would be of you, and that you'd use it to nurture and encourage, Father, to strengthen and even convict. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we talked about how to recognize a spiritual leader 2 weeks ago, but I didn't really dive into those verses. Remember them means to imitate them in verse 7. We're at verse 7. And then have rule has to do with leaders, but there's whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which means the manner of life. But what also it meant when it says whose faith was to follow, it meant death. It meant how their life would ultimately end. Martyrdom. You see, Paul knew that the people were going to be tormented, beaten for their faith. Some of them would have to die for what they believed in. So he said, listen, you remember those who've preached to you and who've gone before you, who died for you. Remember those people who have poured into your life. And then he says, but here's some encouragement for you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what that means is even though you may be knocking on death's door, you may be broke this morning, you may not even have had enough gas to get here this morning. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you die, if you go to your deathbed for the cause of Christ, guess what? There is a tomorrow. For people that don't know Jesus, there's no tomorrow. But for those of us that do know him, there's a tomorrow. Amen. For those of you that have lost loved ones, there's a tomorrow if they knew Jesus. For those of you that have lost friends, there's a tomorrow for those who believe. That was what was great about spending time with Clay and Susie this week. We got to share stories about Derek, and you know, it's been 10 years since he died. And we got to tell stories, and his brother said, you know, I love hanging with you because you just remind me so much of my brother. And we got to spend some time. But the great thing is we're all believers. And we can share story and reflect, but glory to God, it's not the end, amen. We're going to get to see him again, amen. Not because he was perfect, but because Jesus Christ's death was perfect, amen. You see, I don't live by a legalistic set of rules. I believe if you know Jesus, you know him. I believe you can get away from him, but I don't think you can get far enough away from him, amen. Because I believe where sin abounds, grace abounds, amen. And I thank God for his grace. But this morning, I want to talk to you. I've got three themes, 3 points to you. You know, the Baptist, 3 points, 4 points, 2 points. But I have three for you this morning. I want to talk to you about being on the right road, first of all. The right road. And if you're taking notes, that's point number one, the right road. It says in verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Stay on the right road. And do not is a command, isn't it? It says do not go into all these doctrines, these false gods, these doctrines, these false teaching. Because let me tell you something, in the United States of America, Kelly's got a serious radio. I got to flip it around on the way here. The rich person that owned the car before us never turned it off, so we get it for free, amen. But I was listening, there's so many different opinions on those stations. I mean, there's so many different types of spiritual leaders that aren't even Christian believers. There's so many different things that you can listen to. There's so many different views that people have. So we must, as believers, be grounded on the Word of God. You must know who Jesus is. No, you can't just know about Him. You got to know Him and know Him passionately and know that the Holy Spirit will strengthen you and speak to you. He says, do not be carried away. He said, look, remember those that have gone before you. You may have to die for what you believe in. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But do not be carried away with false doctrine, because there's people that the enemy will send to you to try to pull you back into Judaism, try to pull you away from God, try to pull you away from your beliefs, try to pull you away from what God has called you to do. I have bad news for you this morning. There are people that the enemy has control of that want nothing more than to tear your relationships up, to get in front of your dreams, to block what God wants to do, to hurt the future of this church. But we don't live in fear, do we? Because the enemy will not gain an inch if we're in unity and we love God and we serve God and we stand on the foundations of this book. But it says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. Look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Beginning with verse 4. 14, excuse me. Ephesians 4, 14. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You know, some Christians, and I'm just going to be dead honest with you, that their hearts are right, they love the Lord, that they've grown up on the Word, but after a while, you see, I believe a Christian has two choices to make. They can either go on with the Spirit of God and go on it loving Jesus, or they can get so fixated on one doctrine that they spend the rest of their life focused in on some doctrine and arguing doctrine or theology to the point where they miss the mission that God has for them. So there comes a time in everyone's life where you have to decide, am I going to take one passage of Scripture and worry myself to death over it and grind over it and whip people with it, or am I just going to embrace this whole book and God's Spirit and let Him do something with me, an empty vessel? That's a decision that you have to make. Haven't you seen that? I mean, even the Sabbath day. Just an example, the Sabbath day, when we serve God, when we worship God, foods, what foods do we eat, whether we drink real wine or at communion, whether someone speaks in tongues when they pray. Folks, there's lost people dying and going to hell. There's people hungry and hurting. Why, as church members or Christians, why do we argue over the stupidest stuff? My view is, get all of God you can. Get all of God you can to the point where you're overflowing and you can help others. Don't be a part of arguing doctrine, even if you're right. If you waste all your time being right, you're wrong. because you're not serving God like you need to be. The right road. Stay on track. Stay on track. As a church, I would ask you to stay on track. And I believe you're on track. Amen. You're taught the Word of God every week. Your worship is diverse. And it's about Jesus. It's about the Lamb that was slain for you. It's not performance, it's worship. Your ministry is about serving the poor. You're on track. Stay on track. Stay on track. You missionaries, God bless you, and I honor you publicly for what you do. May God bless you and anoint you. I just pray protection over all of you. But I would ask you the same thing. Just stay on track. Stay on track. Number two, stay on target. It says carried about or aside. You know, if your focus and your target is Jesus Christ, you can't lose. You can't lose. If your focus and your goal every day is to love Jesus and to serve Jesus, it doesn't matter where you are, you can't lose. Because I promise you, if that's your main objective, is to love and exalt Jesus, friend, a blessing's coming on you. It's already on you, but you're going to keep getting the blessing. You say, does that mean I'll never have to go through trials? No, you'll go through some trials. You'll go through some stuff I can't explain. Really, any pastor shouldn't attempt to explain. You'll go through some hell, some heartache, but I promise you, if your target and your focus is Jesus Christ, friend, you got a blessing coming your way. Stay on track. Stay on target. Stay on truth. It says diverse. Diverse. Carried out by diverse. And diverse means differing from the one faith, Jesus Christ crucified, that was taught by those who risked their lives to pour into them. Anything that differs from the gospel of Jesus Christ, friend, is false. It's false. And it's not worth wasting your time on. Anything that takes away the power of His resurrection, His death, the Word of God, anything that says, you know, some of these people are saying, well, this is, some of these things in the Bible really didn't happen. No, friend, this is the Word of God. We need to be on the right road. We need to stay on track, stay on target, and stay on truth. Next, I want to talk to you about the right way. The right way. What is the right way? Sometimes it's hard to tell, isn't it? The right way we're to go. It's hard sometimes to know what we're supposed to do, or as an individual to know what you're supposed to do. I know as a parent, my goodness. I mean, holy cow. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, Gloria. I mean, help me. But, you know, I don't know whether to go Christian school. I don't know whether to go private school. I don't know whether to go public school because we really can't afford. You know, you have all these decisions. And Trey's, he's in third grade. He's in a good public school now. But, well, you know, what's the right way as a parent? You know, and I know that many of you that kids are grown, you thought, well, when I raise my kid, I'm going to get them in church 6 days a week, and I'm going to make sure that they're perfect. And now you've realized, well, that probably wasn't the right way. But then there are those that don't take their children to church at all, that wake up one day and think, man, that wasn't the right way. The only way to be sure you're going the right way is to be going wherever Jesus is going. To be moving wherever the Holy Spirit's moving. To do whatever God says to do. Wherever God is where you ought to be. Tracking behind, amen. Wherever the Spirit moves, you got to move with it. And that's the way. We've been talking about the way for weeks. We've talked about compassion, contentment, courage, consideration, consistency. But we talk about conviction. What are your convictions this morning? Do you know what you believe, and do you stand on it, and do you live it? Hebrews says, Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. And we know the food argument, eating meat and those things. But there was more to it than that. There was more to it than just what meat to eat and when to eat and those types of things. Paul was saying more. He was saying, don't be caught up in these things that are irrelevant. You know, ask yourself, if you ever get in an argument or a debate with another believer, is this going to help somebody come to Jesus? And if after a minute this debating is not going to bring anyone to the Lord, it's not going to bless a church, it's not going to bless anybody, then friend, be the bigger person and bow out of it. Because we as Christians have a mission, and that mission is to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ the right way. You know, I travel a lot, especially since I met you guys. A whole lot. Every week, at least about 6 hours. And we've been on vacation. And you know, there are some things I like to have when I travel. Do y'all like to travel? There are some things, now I wasn't like this before I met y'all, but there are some things now I've become OCD about what I've got to have on the trip with me. And I have to have this first one, even in Chattanooga. It's a GPS. I get lost in the town I grew up in. I'm serious. I'm good on Hickson Pike. But beyond that, I will get lost. I still get lost making hospital visits. And because there's 4 or 5 different hospitals, and they're all close to each other, but if you take a wrong road, you're lost. So thank God for Garmin and TomTom, amen. But I have a Garmin. Now, I don't need it anymore to come here. But everywhere else I go, I have to have it. And I still use it when I come here, too. It's still on in case I just fall asleep or something. I want to get Kelly's voice on there, you know. Turn right. But I'm getting so used to that woman's voice, you know, on the thing. God, as I was preparing, God began to speak to me. And I know I'm being goofy a little bit. But God began to speak to me and illustrate some things that you need. You need to be going the right way. You need to be on the right road. There are 3 things I want to tell you this morning to ensure that you'll be on the right road. 3 things. The first thing I need is GPS. GPS is God personally speaking. God speaks. And I know that if you were raised independent or Southern Baptist, you've heard that he only speaks through this book. And friend, that's just not true. Amen. He speaks through this book, but friend, he speaks through his spirit. And he will speak directly to your soul. And he will speak to you. May not be the answer you want to hear. May not be in the time frame you want it to come, but God personally speaks. GPS. God personally speaks. When I travel on the right road, I got to have my GPS to be on the right road. If you travel through your daily life, friend, you have to understand that you need to be speaking and walking with God. If you want to stay on the right road, understand that God speaks. So many people, the reason they're frustrated, the reason they're miserable, is they can quote 18,000 verses to you, but they don't really believe that God's Spirit can speak to their spirit and something magical happens from that dimension to this dimension. And before long, friend, if you've got a narrow-minded view of the Word, you're going to dry up and dry out. God personally speaks. GPS. The second thing I got to have when I travel. Second thing that I got to have when I'm on the right road. I gotta have my iPod. Gotta have it. Love it. Gotta have my iPod. It's got my pictures on it. It's got music on it. I wish it was all Christian. Most of it is. But there's a few things I like every now and then, you know. Gotta get me in the right mood. Just being real with you. Hot, whatever y'all call it, amen. Got to have my iPod. To stay on the right road, you need to understand that God personally speaks. Number two, you need to understand that you need intimate praise on demand. You need to understand that there's a God that's worthy to be praised every second of every day, every hour of every day, everywhere you go, in the car, at the workplace, here at church. You know, a lot of people worship Him at church, but do you worship Him out there? You need to understand that God personally speaks. He will speak to you just like He did young Samuel, just like He did David, just like He did the disciples, the apostles. God will speak to you. But friend, He has died and rose and paid the ultimate price for you, and He's worthy to be praised. I got to have a GPS. I got to have an iPod. Intimate praise on demand. You got to praise Him. Third thing is about 50-50. See, every now and then, one of the things I enjoy about this ride is being by myself, because I'm not by myself a lot. So every now and then, when I'd make this drive down to Stone Mountain by myself, I enjoy, you know, I get to pray, I get to praise, I get to meditate, I get to think about and speak, talk to God. It's a great, just intimate time that I can have with God. But after one or two of those, I get kind of lonely. So that's why I like Kelly and the kids to come with me once or twice a month if they can. Because you get lonely when you travel sometimes. It's the same thing, and all this relates to the Christian walk, friend, and the life's lonely road. You need to speak to God. You need a GPS, but you need to praise Him too. But another thing that I like to have is I like to have some passengers with me. Every now and then, some passengers with me. Even though my boys, Trey and Reed, they will punch each other and holler and fight. And now we have a puppy, and I don't know why we bought a puppy, because we can't even deal with the kids we've got, but we've got a puppy too. Help me, Jesus. But every now and then, I will just drive me nuts. I mean, when we're all in the car, because the baby's crying, Rice, and he speaks in tongues. He only talks a few words here or there, and now you ask him something, he'll go, or he'll go, I'm like, say yes, boy. But I get to missing him. And it's the same as the Christian life. If you try to walk this life by yourself, Lone Ranger style, if you try to walk this life by yourself, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable. That's why God founded church. That's why it represents His body, because we need to be connected with other people. We need to be connected with other people. You need people. What's that song? I need you. You need me. We're all a part of God's body. I can't sing that good, but boy, I wish I could. I tell you what, I can hit a high note every now and then, amen. But you need, I'd like my GPS. I like my iPod. And I need some passengers with me. Passengers is people around to support, sustain, encourage, nurture, give, and exalt the risen Savior. People around to support, sustain, encourage, nurture, give, and exalt the risen Savior. Passengers, you can't make it through this life alone. The Bible says, wherever two. Amen? There's no Lone Ranger theology in the Bible. Wherever two or three are gathered, which means that there's something that happens when you connect with someone else. In unity. The right road. Number three, the right vehicle. The right vehicle. The right road, the right way. To be going the right way, you need the GPS, the iPod, and the passengers. Number three, the right vehicle. The right vehicle. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. Everybody say grace. Grace. The Greek word charis, which means gift. Don't you understand that you've been given a gift? A gift worth telling people about. A gift worth living out. A gift that can't never be taken away. That gift is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It means you didn't deserve it. You didn't buy it. You didn't earn it. You didn't achieve it. You didn't degree it. Friend, grace was done by the Father for you through Jesus. God's grace. The right vehicle is grace. The vehicle that'll get you off drugs is grace. The vehicle that'll get you off of an addiction is grace. The vehicle that'll help you throw your hands up and worship God like you ought to is grace. The vehicle that'll get you from a poor and miserable future to your destiny to the promised land is grace. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater. Grace! How many of you need a little grace this morning? I tell you, I need a little grace this morning. Amen. Do you need a little grace? See, Christian people feel guilty about grace.
Although you shouldn't waller in grace, is what the Bible said.
Bless God, I'm wallering. Amen. Because I don't take what He did for me lightly, friend. To come to this earth, to be spit on and abused and mocked and killed and crucified. He was a king and He was treated like dirt for my sins, friend. I'm thankful for His grace this morning. I'm thankful for His mercy. I'm thankful for His goodness. He is worthy to be praised. I don't take it lightly, but I'm so thankful for it. Because if it was a set of rules, if it was a certain list of achievements, I couldn't be doing what God's called me to do. If it was all about how good I was, I don't know that I could fulfill what God's called me to do. But it's by His grace, amen. It's by His grace. The vehicle's grace. Romans 5. Romans 5. Verse 15 talks about the gift of grace that came through one man. It's a gift that came through one man. His name is Jesus. In Romans, it also says we have access into His grace by faith. You say, Pastor Ronnie, I've never felt that freedom and that liberty of grace. Maybe it's because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning. Maybe it's because you're lost. You say, well, I know verses. I've been to church. No, do you know Him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him? Is He your Father, your friend, your comforter? Do you know Him? And where sin abounds, grace abounds. And Romans also tells us that we're not under the law. We're under grace. We're not under the law. You see, Judaism killed. The letter of the law always kills. I tell people all the time, people say, well, you know, you don't tell somebody, look, if they come down to the altar weeping, saying they've got a hang-up or an issue, you don't say, look, here's the 12 things I need you to do before God will touch you. Here's the 10 commandments and the 5 laws and the 3 classes I need you to take before Jesus will see you. Because you see, that's not the way He did the woman at the well, was it? He didn't say, let me put you through some classes, amen, before I can do something with you. You're past. Maybe you need to go to a recovery class for 6 months. Maybe you need to go through some counseling. No, that's not what Jesus said. He was there for that woman in her time of need. God ordained it. And if you'll cry out to Jesus, I don't care if you're on drugs, have a sexual hang-up, whatever your issue is this morning, God will forgive you. He'll put a new robe on you and a ring on your finger, and He will bless you, fill you up with His Spirit. He will give you passion. He will give you purpose. But you got to believe it, and you got to receive it. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, Adam. resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Grace is knowing Him, it's abiding in Him, and it's expressing that grace of Him to other people. Bow your head and close your eyes this morning.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info, I-N-F-O, at truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.